Chapter 10 The Stampede. This was not the first time I had been caught in a stampede. I had once been surrounded by panicked antelope in the Asian plains at Fun Jungle, but those were all significantly smaller than bison. Getting hit by a bison would be like getting run over by a truck. I had also witnessed an elephant stampede from behind. But watching elephants run away from you is far less dangerous than watching bison stampede toward you. My big concern now was that I was on a horse. I wasn't good on a horse when everything was calm and controlled, so it was terrifying to be astride one with a herd of bison thundering toward me. However, the stampede managed to do what I couldn't, convince Molasses to move. My horse stopped stubbornly grazing, looked toward the approaching herd, then whinnied in terror and galloped across the plains. Until that moment, I'd had no idea that Molasses could gallop. It was quite possible that Molasses himself hadn't known. It had probably been years since he had last done it. He took off so suddenly that I nearly fell backward off the saddle into the pile of fresh horse patootie. I had to grab onto his mane to keep that from happening. Jasmine, Summer, and Auron took off on their horses as well. Summer was adept enough to ride one-handed while holding her phone as she desperately tried to get her father to understand what was going on. "Dad, I know the bison are stampeding," she yelled as we galloped away. "They're stampeding because of you. Get away from here. Oh, crud." She cried out as her phone slipped from her grasp and tumbled to the ground, only to be trampled by the horse that was following her. That horse was mine. Despite the fact that Molasses was running with every ounce of strength he had, he still wasn't as fast as the other horses. He was old and out of shape, the horse equivalent of a couch potato. He was wheezing like an asthmatic and stumbling quite a lot, as though, after years of not running, he was trying to remember how to do it. I certainly wasn't helping the situation. There was probably a proper way to ride a horse at a full gallop, but I had no idea what that was. Instead, I was clinging to Molasses's mane for dear life while I bounced up and down in the saddle like a dribbled basketball. I was also screaming a lot. Molasses didn't seem to appreciate any of this. But then, if I had been running for my life with a smaller creature yanking my hair, bouncing up and down on my back and screaming, I probably wouldn't have appreciated it either. I couldn't be sure, but it seemed to me that as Molasses ran, he was trying to shake me, juking from side to side in the hopes that I would tumble off and lessen his load. The helicopter had stopped buzzing back and forth over the herd and was now following it. I figured that JJ either hadn't heard Summer telling him he was responsible for the stampede, or he had gravely misunderstood her. The sound of the rotors was deafening, spurring the herd onward. Behind me, the bison were gaining. I had heard tales of how bison could get blindly caught up in their stampedes. For centuries, several Native American tribes had used this to their advantage, funneling herds over the edges of cliffs. In the heat of the stampede, the bison wouldn't even notice the cliff coming and would then plummet to their death. These cliffs were known as buffalo jumps. One of the most famous was unsettlingly named Head Smashed In. I figured that if bison in the midst of a stampede couldn't even turn to avoid running off a cliff, then they certainly weren't going to avoid trampling a young human on a slow-moving horse that was in their way. Ideally, I needed to get myself and Molasses as far from them as possible before Molasses collapsed from exhaustion and we both got stomped into goulash. Unfortunately, I didn't have many options. The land ahead of me was only flat, open plain, all the way back to the ranch house. The closest tree for me to climb was down by the river, a quarter mile away. We were coming alongside the dirt road, but that was separated from us by a barbed wire fence that Molasses probably couldn't jump, and even if he could, the bison would simply flatten it. There was no chance of safely pulling over and letting the herd run past us. The bison had fanned out on both sides, So there was now a line of them charging behind us, and we were smack in the middle of it. It felt oddly as though I was surfing a big, shaggy brown wave that was threatening to break on top of me. I had no choice but to keep clinging to molasses as tightly as I could and hope the old horse had enough stamina left in him. On their faster steeds, Jasmine and Auron were pulling well ahead of me. Summer probably could have too, but she kept glancing back my way nervously, as though afraid of what might happen if she left me behind. I signaled for her to keep going. "Don't wait for me," I yelled. "I'll be fine." Summer either couldn't hear this over all the noise, or she chose not to listen. She somehow managed to get Powder Keg to slow down so that she could pull alongside me. Even though we were right next to each other, she had to shout to be heard over the bison, the helicopter, and the hoofbeats of our own horses.
"Jump onto my horse!"
"No way," I shouted back. "Your horse can't carry both of us."
"This horse is young and strong, and we don't weigh that much. Your horse is old and about to collapse."
I quickly assessed the situation. Powder Keg did seem to have energy to spare. Her stride was still smooth and easy, and she looked as though she wasn't even trying that hard. Meanwhile, Molasses was definitely struggling. If he was a car, he would have been belching steam and blowing gaskets. His skin was slicked with sweat, and his breath was ragged. However, moving from one horse to another at a full gallop was dangerous on normal occasions. With the bison stampede right behind us, I couldn't afford to make a mistake. I locked eyes with Summer. Even that wasn't easy to do on separate horses. Her gaze was strong and confident. If she was concerned about the bison, she wasn't showing it. She reached her arm out to me.
"Come on, I know you can do this."
I worriedly glanced back at the stampede.
"Don't look at them," Summer yelled. "Look at me."
I shifted my attention back to her, then slowly reached for her arm. Summer and I had been in enough tight spots to know that, in a situation like this, you didn't grab hands. Each of you grabbed the other's wrists, so if one of you lost your grip, the other still had a solid hold. Summer grabbed my wrist, and I grabbed hers.
"Jump!" Summer yelled. "I've got you!"
I sprang off Molasses and onto Powder Keg. My intention was to throw one leg across the horse and gracefully slide into the saddle behind Summer. Instead, I belly-flopped onto Powder Keg's rear end. There was just enough room between the back of the saddle and the tail of the horse for me to fit on. I ended up draped over her backside like a blanket, with my head pointing one direction and my legs pointing the other. Powder Keg handled the sudden addition of my weight with surprising calm and even picked up speed, while Molasses, now freed of me, seemed to get a burst of energy as well. I had no idea how to straighten myself up and get into the saddle. All I could do was grab the saddle's straps as tightly as possible and try not to get thrown off the horse as she galloped across the plains. I was now being bounced even more violently than I had when astride Molasses, when my legs could at least help cushion the blows. It felt as though my teeth might shake loose and my brain might vibrate out of my ears. Plus, my face was disturbingly close to the smelliest parts of the horse. But when I cocked my head tailward, I could see that the bison herd was falling behind us. However, they were still stampeding. It finally seemed to have occurred to JJ and Karina that they were part of the problem. The helicopter had pulled back and was landing in the field far behind the bison. A few bison even stopped running, mostly young ones that had grown tired. But most of the herd kept on coming after us. I shifted my gaze in the other direction and saw that we were finally coming up to the ranch house. Some people were gathered on the upstairs balconies. I couldn't make out who they were, given that I was bouncing so hard the whole world was blurry. Up ahead, Jasmine and Auron were heading directly toward the house. Summer followed them, and Molasses dropped in behind us, wild-eyed with panic and foaming at the mouth. The house was big enough that even the bison seemed to recognize it was an impenetrable obstacle. The herd began to split like a river that had encountered a rock, with most veering to the east of the house, while a smaller stream went west. We galloped past the porch where we had all dined the night before. A few of the teenage bison stayed close behind us, knocking the patio furniture aside like bumper cars. I saw Heidi Krautheimer watch in dismay as a chaise lounge was crushed to a pulp. All of us on horseback made a tight turn just beyond the house and came to a sudden stop beside the wall. The bison kept on running. After all, they weren't trying to flatten us. They were simply stampeding in fear, and we had happened to be in their way. With the house blocking us from them, they continued right on by. Although they didn't run far. The helicopter was no longer hovering over them, and they were wearing out from their run. The stampede quickly fizzled, like a wave that had come into shallow water. First, the bison in the back stopped running, and eventually the ones in the front stopped too, although the rambunctious teens kept on going for a bit. Soon, the house was surrounded by exhausted bison. A few of them lay on the ground, panting, but most went right back to grazing, as though nothing out of the ordinary had happened. I slid off Powder Keg and dropped to the ground, clutching my chest. It felt as though I had bruised every one of my ribs. Powder Keg seemed completely fine. She went right back to grazing as well. Meanwhile, Molasses was puffing like a freight train and slick with sweat. He was so exhausted, he lay down on the ground. But he looked as though he would be all right once he got some rest. Thankfully, none of the bison seemed to have been hurt, although many of the red dogs had been separated from their mothers. Now they bleated dolefully, moving about the herd in search of their family. In short order, I saw many reunions, where the youngsters immediately went to their mothers' sides and began nursing. Jasmine and Auryn came over to check on Summer and me. "That was some nice riding back there," Jasmine told Summer. Auryn patted me on the back. "I have no idea what you were doing, but I guess it worked." My parents came around the back of the house, along with Candace, filled with relief to see that Summer and I were okay. Mom threw her arms around me, hugging me tightly, which was the last thing my sore ribs needed.
"Thank goodness you're all right," she said.
"You're hurting me," I said. "My sides are in pain."
Mom quickly released me, looking mortified.
"I'm so sorry, Teddy."
"What do you need?" Dad asked. I considered that, then said,
"Believe it or not, I'm starving. Is breakfast ready yet?"